Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
That was a catastrophe.
I know.
That's a new low. Yeah. Roz is better.
El Hombre.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
El Hombre.
The natural meets Rudy meets... I don't even know how to describe it.
El Hombre.
Well, here we have on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, El Hombre. Doesn't get a chance to make fun of my update because we had a real professional do it, Mike Lefkoe.
You were nervous.
How are you, Michael?
We got a new opening there.
Yeah, it's a little updated, I think. Up at the top.
We got Bob Stilton cackling.
That was a professional update, not just of the opening, but of the, you know, the actual news update.
Yeah. Yeah.
No stumbling, no misnaming teams. It was very well done.
Well, and getting the right sport. That's always the one.
Yeah, that's important.
I mixed the NFL and Major League
The San
baseball.
Diego Chargers tonight on the mound.
Yeah. Yes. So, first thing off the top of your head, El Hombre. What's bugging Michael Bradley?
What do you think's bugging me?
Yeah.
The Saudis buying a PGA. We can laugh about this. This is disgusting. This is a country that murdered a journalist, chopped his body into pieces, and then nothing to see here. They bought the PGA. This guy, Jay Monahan, he needs to be strung up. Seriously, they need to put him on the 16th hole at the Waste Management, hanging from the gallery, grandstand, and then let Rory McIlroy and Matsuyama and all the guys that turned down money and stuck up for the PGA skull five irons at him, sending some of those hot tracers so that they hit him in the head. This guy's disgusting. He has turned – right now the NCAA looks good, okay? The NFL that let Deshaun Watson back in for $50 million a year looks good next to the PGA.
What do you think is going to be, if there is, the backlash? I mean, how are people going to accept this, or are they just going to go, whatever, and not make a big deal about it? Or do you expect to see, like, protests at golf tournaments, things like that? What do you think?
You may, but, the thing about those golf tournaments is it is really hard to get within – a half mile or a mile of the country clubs when they're having these tournaments. When they had the U.S. Open near me, they shut a road down that ran the entire length of a part of the golf club, and you couldn't get anywhere near it. You had to park way off and get shuttled in. So they'll let some, there'll be some protests, but they're not going to be anywhere near it. And the propaganda partners, Jim Nance will sit there and I predict at the Canadian Open this weekend in Toronto, he will sit there and interview this cad Monahan, this turd, this human stain, who has came out before saying, you've never been ashamed to say you're part of the PGA Tour, and now he's taken a bucket full of money from murderers and people who bombed our country on 9/11, and said, I don't have all the information at the time. This is so that the prince doesn't get deposed in any of these lawsuits, and it's so the lawsuits all get dropped and the money comes flowing into the PGA.
Yeah, so if you're a guy like Rory McIlroy, who was one of the most vocal guys, and he stood out there and defended the PGA and he showed his loyalty, what do you think about something like this? I mean, what motivates him to go out there and keep playing in the PGA? I mean, money, obviously, but outside of that, how do you come to terms with this if you're Rory?
Well, if I'm Rory, my agent has made a call to the PGA offices and said, there's going to be an eight-figure payment coming to me very soon from the PGA, and if it isn't, then I'm going to start talking about it. And McIlroy knows, these guys know what's going on, right? It's not a case of, they may not know what was the deal was going to happen today, but they certainly know some of the backroom dealings and some of the things that were going on before. I'm going to start talking, and I'm going to tell everybody what I know, and I'm really going to make, and you, Monahan, you're gone. I'll make sure you're out. He's going to be gone. The heat will be too much for this guy. But this is unbelievable. It was handled as poorly as can be handled. The players found out about it via Twitter. Are you kidding me? Hey, by the way, we're going to give you a colonoscopy with a razor wire. We're not going to give you any warning, so watch out, Johnny. So this is just a really bad look all around. And people are going to still watch. And, you know, Jim Nantz will talk about the PGA Tour, which, you know, you put in the U, which is third, before the O, which is second, which is stupid. And we're going to have business as usual. They're going to try to make this weekend's tournament look just like anything else, business as usual.
Well, you know, you mentioned, or I talked about possibly with the protests and things like that. I'm just wondering if there's enough people that are pissed off that have lots of money that, you know, can try to battle it some other way, some other golf association, some way of, you know, putting together enough money. Because I would think that some of the golfers would take maybe a little bit less to go somewhere and play golf where, you know, they don't have to have a guilty conscience.
No, they won't. They won't do that. This is the way it is. They're not leaving. Nobody's got enough. I mean, look, the Saudi prince had enough money. Nobody's got as much money as them, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's probably worth $1 trillion. So what do you think? Who's got the kind of money that he has? And LIV Golf was a failing entity. Nobody watched it. Nobody cared about it. Nobody reported on it. So that didn't work. And they had all the money in the world. The only way that this hurts the PGA is if some sponsors flee, right? How does RBC feel, right? They sponsor the Canadian Open, I think. You think if you're the CEO of Royal Bank of Canada, you're going to be sitting there going, hey, this is great. I can't wait to be the first PGA event after they sold their soul to the Saudis. Hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. The amount of money they're bringing in, the Saudis are bringing in, I'll bet you it is 11 figures. We're talking $20 billion. And I would imagine that Monahan's Cayman Islands account got pretty fat over the last day or two.
Yeah, it's been a major story in sports today, that's for sure. I know we could keep talking about this, but we do want to get your thoughts on some other things going around the sports world, especially, Michael, because whenever Seattle and NBA expansion is thrown out there, everyone perks up and comes to attention. And Shaq threw it out there to Adam Silver a couple of nights ago, and he mentioned Seattle and Vegas, and there was no set timeline. But ultimately, because, you know, as we're talking about money here, do you think NBA expansion happens? And would you put like maybe a rough timeline on when you think that could happen?
I think in the next 5 years. I mean, there's going to be a team in Vegas. I mean, Vegas is going to get a baseball team. It looks like. We don't know. I mean, every day it seems like it's less and less likely the A's are going to move there. They're going to get the stadium, blah, blah, blah. But we got a hockey team. We got an NFL team. It would be silly in an area that's booming in terms of population growth for the NBA not to bring about bring a team in there. And you're going to need a partner. You can't have a 31-team league. Seattle makes as much sense as anything. I mean, you're not going to go to Omaha. I don't know where else you could go, right? Jacksonville, forget it. Albuquerque, not a chance. San Jose, too close to Sacramento and San Francisco. So I would think that Seattle, now you've got your arena, which helps. Now, I don't know if that was built by the hockey team. I don't know enough about it. Is it owned by the hockey team or is it owned by the city?
It is, what is that? It's owned by the group that owns the hockey team, right? Yeah. And they built it for the NBA. So, yeah, they're ready for it.
Right. So, I mean, if somebody else would be, you don't want to be the second tenant in a building. I mean, you see the Clippers are miserable with that. The Sixers are miserable with that here in Philadelphia. They're trying to get their own arena built. You know, there'd have to be some hurdles, but I mean, it would make sense. The question that only you guys and only folks in Seattle know is, will people watch? Yeah. Will people come? Will it be a good enough deal for the league to have, you know, will it be sold out? Will it be sold out? You're getting a major market. I mean, Seattle's a big-time city in the Northwest. It helps. You get Vegas. You know, they're two Western teams. You can put them both in the Western Conference or however you want to do it. I think it makes sense.
Hey, Michael, I don't know if this story kind of popped up the other day, and I heard this rumor the day that that Russell Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos, that Philly was a very close, like, that they had a deal, basically, and that was on Russ's, no trade clause. Thankfully, it didn't happen, right, because it worked out well for you guys. But I'm just curious, you know, I think Russell will change. I think he's going to go back to just being a football player instead of trying to be the coach and the GM and all that stuff. But I imagine that would not have gone over well in Philadelphia with his, you know, having his consultant in the building and things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When that deal was thought of, and when was that? That was before last season, right?
March 8th.
Yeah. Yep. So I mean, when that deal was being considered, you have to remember, Jalen Hurts' season, you know, in 2021 was not great. You know, he completed 61% of his passes. He had, you know, 9 interceptions versus 16 touchdowns in 15 games. People didn't look at him, and then he looked very vulnerable in the playoff game against Tampa Bay. He was unable to make reads. He didn't get rid of the ball in time. So Eagles fans did not go into last season saying, we got ourselves one of the top 5-10 quarterbacks in the league. I think it would have been welcomed. There would have been a sizable group of people who would have welcomed Russell Wilson here. Now, as you said, once the shenanigans and the tomfoolery began and the losing, then it wouldn't have been quite so emphatic a welcome. And, you know, maybe Russell knew that it wasn't going to go so well. He was afraid of being in Philadelphia where, you know, booing is like one of the nicer things we do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about the other Jalen? Anything from Jalen Carter, negative, positive, anything popping up? I'm still so curious to see, you know, what, you know, how everything unfolds for this young man. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm rooting against him, that's for sure. I'm just very curious as to whether or not he's going to have the mentality that it takes to be in the NFL. But anything pop up there?
It's way too early to tell because they didn't have any minicamp. The Eagles only had OTAs. You guys are day one of a minicamp. The Eagles are not having a minicamp this year.
Oh.
So we didn't get to see, you know, we got to see him in OTAs. The reports are he's massive. The reports are he's quick, but, yeah, you know, there's nobody that can say, okay, for sure, how's he as a teammate? How's he interacting with the veterans? How's he whatever? So it still remains to be seen what's going to happen. So I think we'll find out. So far, so good. And by so good, we mean nothing bad has happened.
Do you think that's going to be more of a trend, Michael? Because the Jets just scrapped their minicamp as well, and now that there are no pads, it's kind of an extension of OTAs. Are we going to see teams start to maybe do less in the middle and have a period here in the spring and then maybe just kind of send them on their way until we get to training camp?
I think that is definitely a trend, just as, you know, we see fewer NFL exhibition games. It's funny. I every day at lunch when I'm not teaching – I've been watching This Week in Pro Football from the 1970s. And I was just completed the entire 1973 season. And it was at the beginning of it, they're like, so Roger Staubach, coming off of a great preseason where he did this in the 6 games. They used to have 6 preseason games.
Oof,
6.
Geez, I know.
And you know, now we're down to 2. Is it 2 now or 3? Do we only
3.
Have 2?
Yeah.
I don't, 3.
Yeah,
that'll be the 2. Is when they go to 18 games, mm-hmm. that'll go to 2. But
right.
I think more teams are going to say, how can we do more with less? There's going to be virtual stuff. Players are working out a lot more assiduously on their own. They're coming. Nobody comes into training camp to get in shape anymore. They come into training camp to fight for jobs and playing time.
Yeah, it's true. Remember, I remember seeing Paper Lion with Alan yeah. Alda. Right. And remember, that was the thing, that you came to camp to get in shape. That's what training camp was about. But now, I mean, you better be ready to go. And speaking of the NFL, Seahawks are going to and Mike, you'll like this. Lefko made a funny earlier. He said the Seahawks are going to go with the throwback jerseys, or as Wyman calls it, jerseys. But, yeah, I mean, it's incredible what the NFL is doing. I'm not sure if they're planning on doing that in Philadelphia, but I mean, just the cash that they bring in for all these alternative jerseys. You got these fans that have like 12 different versions of these $100, $200, sometimes $300 jerseys.
It's crazy. This year, the Eagles are going back to their green, their Kelly green from the 1980s, which is just sharp as hell and is much better than what they play with now. But you're right. You go to an Eagles game, you've got a menagerie of jerseys. The only thing that's crazier is hockey. And you guys have only been in the league a couple of years, so you're not familiar with having 18 different alternative jerseys. The hardest decision any Flyer fan makes on game day is which jersey to make. Where? I mean, it's period. I'm serious. They go in a closet. They've got 15 of them. Which one am I wearing? Whom am I wearing? What is the occasion? What does it mean? So, yeah, this is a money-making machine. That's what the NFL is. They're geniuses, and they've got everybody, their propaganda partners, the networks, the media, the sponsors, everybody's in lockstep right behind that shield, and it's just spitting out billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like, I'm on the other side, so I don't really see it. So, you know, for me, sports has just been work my entire life, and a great, great work. I love it. Even doing, you know, the games on the weekends, I gladly give up my weekends for that. But there's lots of people that don't travel, they don't buy fancy cars. Their entire entertainment budget is sports. Or, you know, just one team in some cases. So it's pretty clever, all the things that the NFL are doing to just continually increase revenue.
Yeah, and you're right. For a lot of people, it's the season ticket, the tailgate party. That is their leisure time.
Right.
That is what they do. And you know, they may go with the fat here. You know, you get out of the New Jersey Shore, and you maybe spend a few days with the family. It's always funny to go to an exhibition game because you see a lot of wives and girlfriends and kids. Mm. And it's like, okay, I'll take you to the exhibition game, but there's no way I'm taking you to the real games. And this is serious business, man. I'll tell you, the people buy recreational vehicles and trick them out. They buy old school buses and paint them green and make them into road trip buses. It is the organized sporting religion in this country.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about the fact that the Bills are getting $850 million from the public because those fans just want to keep them there out of their new $1.whatever billion stadium that they broke ground on. That football fandom is just a different way of life.
That's awful. I hate to hear that. I didn't know they were getting that much. Because here's the thing. Construction jobs are going to be there for a couple years while they build it. And that's great. You know, you always want a project like that where people are going to be able to work. The jobs on game day are low-paying minimum wage jobs. Or you're selling, you know, beer or whatever and getting paid on commission. You're not making a lot of money for the people. And they put up $850 million. And if you walk through the streets of some of these towns that give tremendous amounts of public money and you say, how are the schools? How is the safety? What's happening with the number of police on the job? Is the trash being picked up? That's where people rightfully, I think, get upset. If you're an NFL franchise, you can afford it. Your valuation of your franchise is billions. And this stadium is a gift. This is $850 million to the Buffalo Bills because the value of the franchise will increase because they own that stadium. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift just played three nights here at Lincoln Financial Field where the Eagles play. I think that after every song you heard a cash register sound over the PA because that's all it was. And parking was like $50 for people. And they just willfully, here's my card, take whatever you want. How much is it? $250? I don't care. Just get me there.
Yeah, and then on the other side, I mean, you mentioned the A's thing. We talked about that, too, that the city of Las Vegas and Nevada legislature said, no, we're not going to approve this public spending. Could it really happen that the A's get left without a home here?
I don't think they'll get left without a home, but they're going to have to come up with real money to build their own stadium. Mm-hmm. And I take my hat off to Vegas because as soon as Oakland moves to Las Vegas, the value of the franchise will double. At least. And if they get a stadium that's $1.2 billion or $1.5 billion, whatever it costs to build a baseball stadium now, that's an asset that sits in the column, the accounting column as well. So to me, this is I love sports. I love new stadiums. It's fun. I want teams to be successful, et cetera, but I don't want the public to be giving millions of dollars out when they don't have it, and it should be going, if they do, to other things that are way more important.
Yeah. All right, El Hombre, it was great hearing from you. I promise next week you will have much more professional broadcast. I'm not speaking for LEFCO.
Dave will be back in the update.
Are you going to do another update next week?
Yeah, just for you.
I can't wait. That's great.
All right, take care, man. We appreciate it.
So long, suckers.
Yeah, we had the little extra. You get the doom.
Yeah.
And that was him, like, punching the end button. But we had the little sound effect there, so.
See, you could have just not said anything. It would have been fine. Maybe you wouldn't even have known that you didn't do the update. Just thought, now you're not doing it anymore. But you made a big deal about it.
Well,
so he's going to expect you to do it next week. And
I honestly think it's really funny when he makes fun of me. It's good.
So, oh, you're just screwing up on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
For the sake of the bit.
Yeah.
Good. That's smart.
Oh, yeah.
That's
of course. Every time I screw up, Mike, that's on purpose.
Yeah.
It's all done by design.
Yeah.
How do you feel about tonight? How do you feel about this series?
Yeah, two games coming up in just a few seconds here. And it's an important one. I think we talked about what the Rangers' loss meant for the expectations moving forward and the rest of this road trip, too, is that there's really no margin for error where you are as the Mariners. And for the sake of maybe perception, Dave, where you had a weekend series that didn't go well, you had an off day, you had a lot of time to sit and put so much weight on this game, and then it's going to happen on the back end of it as well with an off day on Thursday. Even though you have a lot of games and you still have months left in the season, each individual game takes on more weight and more crushing pressure almost because, all right, you're coming off a bad series loss. There was an off day. Everyone kind of stews in it. More anticipation, more hype on what Mariners team you'll really see, and a good pitching matchup out there to start with Gilbert and Musgrove.
Well, maybe you know, the Scott Service told the team to go do what Mike Ford did. Go to the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah,
just relax,
I like that.
Guys. You know, I like that idea. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it and if this is where they start to make that run, because, like Divish said, the pitching's too good for them to have this record. So,
yeah, it really is. What's scary a little bit is that, you know, you heard from Jesse Agler, that top four in the Padres lineup is, you know, incredibly destructive there. And when they're hitting well, they hit well, but they have not put it together. So maybe a sign of optimism. The Padres is one of the worst hitting teams in baseball this year, second worst batting average in the league. That will wrap it up for us, Dave, live from Seahawks minicamp. We'll be back out here on Thursday. Big thanks to Mike Ford, Jarek Reed, John Boyle, Jesse Agler, and El Hombre. Almost couldn't fit all the guests in there. What a lineup we had. Coming up next, though, it is Mariners pregame right here on Seattle Sports.